What can I expect to happen in my life following spiritual growth? This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. What can I expect to happen in my life following spiritual growth? Well, first you got to have the spiritual growth, don't you? Mm-hmm. That's something that we have not paid too much attention to. We work on all the little things, the human things, and we think that those are just wonderful, and they are. They're good. The human things are very beneficial, but we want to take that grand step into our spiritual understanding. Now, if I say to any of you, what is one of the primary experiences that you have when you are spiritually illumined? What's one of the primary experiences you have when you are spiritually illumined and you are still walking the physical path here, but you're spiritually illumined? And I would say the primary experience that you have is that of unconditional love. Unconditional love is where you love everyone equally, and you don't feel incumbent upon yourself to do anything particular about any one person or any group of people or anything at all. You just love everybody, and you're sitting back in smiling repose at the interesting things that they're doing. You don't call it silly. You know, they call it silly because they realize they're not benefiting themselves by walking their spiritual path by doing the things that they're doing. But you don't call it silly because you know in your divine understanding that what they're doing is leading them to the path, leading them to that moment of awareness, like a person falls off the cliff. Oh God, I believe in you. And of course, that's not quite the way to go. But many people have had a cathartic experience that way out of some dramatic thing that happened. Like one fellow, he was in the ocean on his raft, and he says, God, if I'm ever saved, I'll go to church every Sunday. Well, he was saved. And as soon as he was saved, he immediately forgot about going to church. But that's okay. The promise was to himself. Now, do you think he had pride in himself? Do you think that he appreciated that he didn't follow through on what he had agreed to do in himself? You see, there is no outside deity who's going to judge us or is going to tell us that what we're doing is right or wrong. There's only the indwelling spirit of divinity, which we are. Jesus said, the Father is within. Go within to see the Father. And the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So we go to that divine self of us, which is our real self. And we live in that awareness, and then we shine forth in that awareness. Now, if we are the creators of our world, and if we created every person and everything in our world, did we create any junk? No, we only created good stuff. So why is there some junk in our world? Why is there some things in our world that we're not totally happy with? Well, at the time we thought that was the proper thing to do. At the time we thought that was the proper attitude to have. And it was perfectly okay to do something like we did. Like, for instance, being angry. Is there ever a time that it's right for us to be angry? Is there ever a time that it's right for us to hurt another person under any circumstances? Why do we create ourselves in a situation where we have to hurt another person? I spent my entire time in the Second World War out at sea, aboard a fighting vessel, aboard an aircraft carrier, a baby aircraft carrier, and we were to draw the enemy away from the bigger fleet, and we were to go in where angels feared to tread, and we did. But I created myself doing all the jobs that had to be done and not once touching a gun, not once hurting another person. Not once, even by my presence, I didn't hurt another person. By my presence, I was a blessing to the others because I said to them, hey, we got a real cozy arrangement here, you know. They don't really know we're here. And so let's just be invisible. And I shared with them being invisible. And we played the game for a while too, being invisible. And it worked. And then some character comes along and says, uh-oh, I hear. And then all of the invisibility and poof, away. Because they stopped believing in it. And yet, for weeks on end, the war was raging around us everywhere, you know. And we were invisible. Nobody knew we were there. And certainly, there were planes that flew overhead and other things, and people knew that this little aircraft carrier, CV-80 Petrov Bay, was there. But, as far as we were concerned, we were invisible. And we were. Until somebody gets on the radio and says, oh, they're moving close. Whoops, we're going to be in the trouble now. And sure enough, then that's what came. So, what can I expect to happen in my life following spiritual growth? Well, following spiritual growth, you no longer limit yourself by the world that is around you. You are in the world, but not of the world. Do you think that as Jesus walked through his path in life, very noble being for sure, and as he walked through this path, did he ever see any trees that were dying? Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Did he ever see any crops that were not fully harvested? Did he ever see any people who were not enjoying life? Did he ever see any people who had problems, like who died, you know? Did he ever see any circumstances that needed to be, in our eyes, righted? Yes. But you see, we are again blind, and we are so blind that it is really remarkable that we can see it all. What did Jesus say of Lazarus?
He only sleeps.
Now, remember that. What did he say of the tree? What did he say of the crops? What did he say of people's problems? He said, if you have a problem, go to the person with whom you have a problem and seek adjustment and seek understanding and peace, and then go to the divine center. Now, we would say, go direct to the divine center. But you can't get in. You can't get in the divine center so long as you have an attitude that you hate somebody or that somebody is out to get you. Somebody's out to hurt you. You see, this voodooism in the Caribbean islands, it's very real. It's very real. All those people who believe in those things, it's real for them. They're told that someone has a vendetta against him, because that's Italian. Someone has something against them and is going to create a problem for them. And then the somebody sticks pins into an object that they call that person, and that person feels pain. He feels really pain. Now, he doesn't know that person is sticking pins in there. But the other person, the one universal mind, this is informed to him. Now, it seems that that's not a good thing. Nothing wrong with it at all. He's just using his consciousness in that particular way. Seemingly not beneficial to him and not something that he would like to do to be happy and harmonious. But that's what he does. You see? So now, what is it? What can I expect to happen in my life following spiritual growth? Well, we have our terms up here. You're untouchable, you're one-pointed, you're unpossessed, you're non-judgmental. You don't judge anything. Jesus didn't judge Lazarus. He just said, he's only sleeping. Jesus didn't judge the little girl. He said, she's only sleeping. He didn't judge anyone who was sick. He said, pick up your bed and walk. You know, I mean, my goodness sakes, that's very cold. Not very caring at all, but yet, if they would pick up their bed and walk, it would be done. And some did. Now, I have spoken that to a number of people, and some picked up their bed and walked, and some didn't. And those who walked, they said, yes, yes, I did it, I did it, I did it. I said, wonderful. You see, we don't need credit for putting an idea in somebody's mind that they exercise. In my mind, that person never had a problem. In Jesus' mind, these people never have a problem. He sees right through them. He sees the little game that they're playing, and they want attention with it. And then he says, now, do you really want to get well? Do you really believe you can be well? Why did he ask such a stupid question like that? He asked that question because if they're well, they're not going to get pity anymore from anybody. They're not going to get anybody coming over and bringing them a bowl of soup. You know what I mean? And that's just the way it is. So, now, do you really want to get well? Do you really want to get rich? Now, I spoke to a young man who said he needs a job. And I said, fine, go get one. They're all over the place. And you can have it in any area you want. But be humble. Shut up. Go in there and be humble and do the job that's asked of you. And then while you're having this income come in, you can be looking for your perfect job. You can be making yourself ready for it. Well, I wouldn't make enough money for all the work. Hey, you work on what you got. You work on what you got. And this is what is most of the trouble. You see, as we spoke earlier, if a man from a high-paying job loses his job, it's hard for him to adjust to the fact that he now must perhaps consider a less-paying job. Or maybe a bigger job. But if he's willing to take something and tide him over as he builds up his consciousness and builds up his attitude about himself, then he will be great. But if he doesn't tide himself over, he's not going to be making it. What can I expect to happen in my life following spiritual illumination, spiritual growth? Well, for one thing, I won't be worried about money. I won't be worried about health. I won't be worried about age. I won't be worried about bodily conditions. I won't be worried about anything. If I start worrying about those things, I empower them in my life. And I don't choose to empower that nonsense in my life. Do you?
Nope.
Think of these things. This is what it's all about. What can I expect to happen in my life following spiritual growth? People come here and they want spiritual growth. I say, well, here are the rules. Oh, they're too tough. Well, then go away. Even you kids here on campus, you sometimes say, oh, they're too tough. You say, I don't want to do it, and I'm not going to do it. I will not do it. I will not do it. Well, you say it even more powerful than that. You know how powerful you say it? You don't do it.
Yeah,
that's even more powerful than saying, I will not do it. You just don't do it. And I look at you, and I think to myself, yes, they love the path. They want to stay on the undeveloped path as long as possible. They want to have horses walking along the path and putting holes in the path so that they can trip and fall and have all sorts of fun. That's what they want. That's what they want. Now, Ellen made a comment. She said, okay, I asked the Border Patrol if they would come and rake the holes up where the horses were walking and pick up the horsey do, you know, with the doggy do basket, you know, a little bag. And they said, no, no, we don't do that. And so then she says, well, then we'll do it. And so she said to me, I will get the campus group and we'll go out and we'll rake the path and it'll all be done in two shakes of a lamb's tail and we won't have to be thinking, where are the holes? Now, she didn't do that. She only talks. She talks big sometimes, you know. But she only talks. And what she should do is she should act. She should act upon what she talks. Yeah, it's not a matter of you driving on it. Oh, you want with the thing behind?
Yes.
Have you done it?
I thought you would do that. That's why I left it alone. Sorry.
Isn't it nice how she thinks of things for other people to do? That's nice. No, that's okay. One way or another, it'll get done. But maybe not this lifetime. But what can I expect to happen in my life following spiritual growth? I will not be touched by anything. I will not be touched by anything. Now, are they touched by my talking about getting out there and breaking up the path? Oh, yes, they are. They say, well, a little bit would be all right, but not the 3 miles of paths there that we're walking. Well, you don't have to do it all. You just have to do the parts that go up in the hills where we have our meditation walk. You don't have to do the main roads. The main roads need a little love, too, and that's where the horsey-doo is, but that's okay. That's okay. Ellen has never had to pick up doggy-doo, so she doesn't know how that is.
She is trained in that.
So, we will expect tomorrow that they will all be gone, and Ellen will have done her perfect job. So, and of course, you're going to town tomorrow, aren't you?
Yes.
Boy, did you plan that very well.
Tomorrow writes the books, no?
What can I expect to happen in my life following spiritual growth? I'm untouched. I'm unconditionally loving. And I am number one fantastic. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love
you. A bushel and a peck. A bushel and a peck, and a hug around the neck. Hug around the neck, and a bushel and a peck. A bushel and a peck, and a hug around the neck. I love you. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.